We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you have a Bible with you. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show you your wisdom and understanding to the nations. You will hear about all the decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the words, the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws that you are following, that you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Then on to verse 32. And ask about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire, as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God, and beside him there is no other. From heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into the land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Amen.
Thank you very much, Colin. And thank you, Andrew, and to all in St. Andrews for your welcome to Rosemary and I today. When Andrew first asked if it was possible for me to come, I'd had a fairly busy schedule, but we've worked closely together for 4 years with the team who serve the Baptist Union of Scotland. And I know Alistair relatively well, although I'd never met Lindsay before today. She's much better looking than you are, Alistair. And I thought, if it's possible to come, we would love to be here. And I've known St. Andrews a little bit in the past, after Rosemary and I spent 14 years in Fife in Leslie. So it's great joy and a great pleasure to be with you here this morning. I brought with me one of the kind of banners that we carry around as a national team of the Baptist Union. And it's just giving a picture of what goes on in our life as a family of churches around Scotland. And one of the reasons I like to bring this with me is because it's got a picture of our own pastor here, David Barry, who's the pastor at Putlochry Baptist Church, where Rosemary and I are members. And that was a baptism in Lough Faskelly about 3 years ago on the hottest day of summer. God was good that day. He's good every day, but especially good that day. And it was a wonderful day. And Drew in the middle was baptized by David and one of our deacons, Douglas Kennedy. So Putlochry has a prominent place on this banner. Have a close look at it later, because it was an attempt to capture in pictures a glimpse of what it means to belong to this family of Baptist churches in Scotland, to be involved with the people who make up these churches and who are serving God here and in other parts of the world now. One family we prayed for who have been sent out overseas recently. So it just gives a brief picture. And if you would really like to follow that through, we published this little booklet called An Invitation to a Journey. And it sets out something of the direction we feel God has given us as a family of churches. And I commend it warmly to you. There are copies of this booklet down beside the banner here. And if you'd like to pick one up later, you're more than welcome to do so. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn again to that chapter that Colin read from? Recently I started studying the book of Deuteronomy. I was interested to hear about Proverbs and about James. Well done. I hope you really enjoy them as you study them. When I told a friend that I was studying Deuteronomy, she said, "Oh, that's one of the books I read just to tick it off on my way through the Bible. To say, well, I've done it, I've read it, now I'll get on to something different." Did you know that Deuteronomy was Jesus' favourite Old Testament book? He quotes more from Deuteronomy than he does from any other book in the Old Testament. So maybe it's a slight assumption, but I think it's a fair one to say that he obviously loved it and he derived a lot from it. And as I've been reading Deuteronomy, I've realized that it's really misnamed. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, but I don't necessarily believe in the inspiration of the titles given to books in the Bible. And Deuteronomy means second law. But in actual fact, as you begin to read it, you realize this is not a book about law. This is a book about grace. It's Moses at the end of his life, and he knows he's coming to the end of his life because God has clearly told him. It's Moses standing with the people of Israel, the people he led from Egypt into their wandering through the wilderness. Almost 40 years have passed since the momentous events of the Exodus, and now they're standing on the threshold of the promised land. And the people of Israel are gathered on the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River. And they can see the contours of the promised land that God has said he would lead them to and they would inherit. And now at this point on the journey, Moses knows he's not going to go into the promised land. And he tells the people he's led these years what's on his heart. Deuteronomy is like an extended sermon. If we read it all through this morning, it would take a long time. You wouldn't get the student fairer. You wouldn't get your Sunday lunch. You would miss it all. So perhaps it's a series of sermons. But it's Moses unburdening his heart to the people he's led, pleading with them, urging them, exhorting them, saying to them, this is how you are to move into your inheritance. This is what God is saying to you. And so Deuteronomy is a book about grace and about memory of what God has done and about the longing of a pastor to see his people engage with what God is actually saying. And the phrase that really struck me as I was thinking about this morning was just that very evocative phrase, standing on the threshold. And I realized that for Alistair, beginning this new ministry alongside Andrew here in St. Andrews, there's a threshold that he's being invited to step over and to embrace what God has here for him. And I realize for many of the folks who've come to study in St. Andrews, here's a time of a threshold. There are new opportunities. This is a new day. There are excitements about what's ahead. Perhaps some fears and anxieties as well. But others might have a different kind of threshold. This could be an unwelcome place for some. The death of a loved one. A difficult meeting. Bad news being received. The threat of a strained relationship. Whatever the threshold might be for you today, I want to take you into Deuteronomy chapter 4, especially to verse 1, and to ask, what would Moses say if he was standing here with us today? What would he be saying to us here in St. Andrew's Baptist Church on this day in September 2013? Just testing to see if you were awake and still with me. I want to suggest three things, very simple things, that we can draw from this verse in particular. Let me read verse 1 again. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. The first thing I want to suggest today, the first thing that Moses, I think, would say to us, and that I believe God is saying to us, is give yourselves to him, to God. Give yourself to God. The words that we used earlier, that we spoke together in the presence of God, are like words of a covenant. It's almost like a marriage service where pastor and people speak to each other and engage with each other. And they invite God's witness to the words that they've spoken together. And I'm glad you've got these printed out, because I'd like you to take them home and pray through them and use them in that way in the weeks and months ahead. Say, Lord, we really want to be this kind of people, prophetic and worshipping and sacrificial and transformed and holy and a missionary people. This is the kind of people we want to be. And for Alistair to say, Lord, that really did express my heart today. I bring myself and the gifts I have, and I covenant to serve and encourage this church. It's the language of covenant. And when you read Deuteronomy, you realize that shot through the whole book of Deuteronomy is the covenant reality. God has brought his people into a relationship with him that's a covenant. And he has given himself to them. And now he's asking them to give themselves back to him. So the first thing that I want to say today to Alistair and to all of us here in St. Andrew's Baptist Church, Give yourself to God. Stepping over the threshold, you don't know what's the other side of it. You don't know what's ahead. There will be good times, there will be bad times. There will be times of great excitement, there will be times of great sorrow. But give yourself to God for the journey to which He has called you. And nothing could be more important for us in our lives to have a decisive moment when we say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to give it to You. I'm not going to hold on to it for myself, but to surrender it and sacrifice it to You for Your purposes. But once we've said that and made that firm in our hearts and minds, every day we need to remind ourselves of that. And just as we pray, give us today our daily bread, so we need to pray, Lord, today I give my life over to You. I surrender myself to You. And together as a church, together as a community, we're giving ourselves to You, Lord. For the Israelites standing on the plains of Moab, this was a new day. There was new territory that they'd never been there before. They didn't know what was lying ahead. There were new challenges and opportunities. How would they cope? What about the dangers they faced going in to take possession of that land that God had promised? Where would they turn? And when they faced particular difficulties, what would they do in that situation? And Moses says, it's as you give yourself to God and engage with Him and allow Him to engage with you that you discover that He is always before you in that journey. He's always beckoning you on, but He's also accompanying you. He's walking there beside you. A poem that I heard many years ago and was actually very significant in my life at one time when I was looking for direction has these words: my goal is God Himself. Not joy, nor blessing, nor peace, but Himself, my God. 'Tis His to lead me there, not mine, but His. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road. First thing, give yourself to God. The second thing that I think Moses would say to us, as he said to his people repeatedly, is listen for God's voice. Make sure you listen for what God has to say. And that comes over quite simply and profoundly in one word that's repeated a number of times in the early chapters of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, verse 1, hear now, O Israel. If you go on to chapter 5, verse 1, hear, O Israel, the decrees and the laws I declare in your hearing today. And especially in chapter 6, which contains words that are recited by Orthodox Jews on a daily basis today. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe. Verse 3, hear, O Israel, be careful to obey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Hear, hear, hear what God is saying. Listen, listen for His voice. It was good in our worship this morning that we had a few moments where we just stopped and quietly gave thanks or listened for the voice of God. And God does speak. It's an awesome thought that God communicates with us. I've often encouraged people struggling for guidance to say, look, if you give yourself to God, it's God's prerogative to guide you. It's yours to obey when God actually does guide you. And sometimes we say, Lord, speak, Lord, speak. And if He says something we don't want to hear, we keep saying, Lord, speak, Lord, speak. No, I've said it. Just do it. So when God speaks, he expects that we will listen. And what makes us distinctive in the world is not blending in with those around us, but living in the power and wisdom of God as we imbibe his words and discover the truth and the liberty that these words bring, and allow his words to shape our lives, our thoughts, and our actions. So take time to listen for God's voice. I'm sure Alistair right now will have his mind full and racing of all kinds of initiatives that he might lead the church into in the coming years. How do you know which is the right one? Well, together you need to pray and listen, discerning God's voice. Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Take time to take that into your heart. Another word that's significant in Deuteronomy is the word today. And it's echoed in Psalm 95 when the psalmist speaks about giving praise and thanks to God, and then says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. When you read on in Deuteronomy 4 about the context in which God spoke so many of his words to Moses, it was at Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, as it's described here, where the appearance of God struck fear and terror into the hearts of his people. There was darkness. There was the sound of thunder. There was flame and fire. And God spoke out of the midst of all of that, such that people were truly awestruck by the presence of God. And there was no doubt in their minds that they'd heard his voice. But what did they do with it? That leads me on to the third instruction, command, exhortation that I think Moses would give us today. And it's simply this: do what God says. Do what he says. You see, sadly, the congregation that Moses was addressing in Deuteronomy chapter 4 was not the same congregation he had led out of Egypt, out of bondage. Most of that congregation were dead and buried in the wilderness. The long march from Egypt to Canaan for the Israelites was actually something of a death march, because the congregation who'd come with Moses out of Egypt had hard hearts. They began to complain not long after they left Egypt. Oh, if only we could go back. The food was much better there. The leeks, the melons, the garlic. It was so wonderful. And what have you brought us into the wilderness to eat? And then God gives them manna, and they get fed up with the manna day after day. And God sends them quail until it's coming out of their nostrils almost, and they get fed up with that. A hard-hearted, disobedient people. And the reason it took 40 years instead of 11 days, which is the length of time you can march from Egypt to Canaan, and it took 40 years because the people disobeyed, hardened their hearts against God, complained, until God said, this generation will perish. A new generation will enter the promised land. And when they came to the edge of the promised land, the congregation addressed in Deuteronomy 4 were the children and the grandchildren of those who'd left Egypt. The vast majority of them were buried on the road somewhere. And if you followed the route of graves, you could actually see the route of the Exodus and the journey, 40 years, regularly people dying, perishing. Why? Because of unbelief, because of disobedience. So Moses would say to the children of a generation that resisted God because they said, this is too dangerous. This is going to be problematic for our children. We're worried about what's going to happen to them. And now it's the children who are actually ready to go into the promised land. The parents are dead. They missed the purpose and the plan of God. So Moses, I think, would say to us what he said to his congregation then. Do what he says. When you hear his voice, do it. Put it into practice. Here's something else I found out in Deuteronomy. Moses talks in chapter 6 about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. How do you love the Lord your God? I could only find one place in the Old Testament where someone says, I love you, Lord. And even then it's a word that can be translated in other ways. But instead, what comes out regularly in the Old Testament is, I love your Torah, or I love your words. What you've said, what you've spoken, this is so precious to me. And in fact, when John writes his gospel in John chapter 1, and he talks about God giving the law or the words through Moses, then he says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John, I think, is saying, God revealed himself in words supremely in the Old Testament, but now he's revealed himself in a living person, his Son, we've been singing about this morning. You're the Word of God, the Father. Do what he says. Show that you love God by obeying his words, by loving his words, by taking them to heart and saying, Lord, help us to put these into practice. Why? Not simply as a code of behavior, but because in a covenant way, you've reached out to us and you've drawn us to yourself and you've made us your people. And now in your love, in your saving grace, we belong to you. So we want to reflect you in our world today. What legacy could Moses leave his people? Well, this is his legacy in Deuteronomy 4. I remember shortly before my mother died, she apologized to myself and my sister and said, we're really sorry that your dad and I don't have much that we can leave you in the way of money. And we said, look, what you've left us is actually worth much more than money. You've left us a legacy of love and of faith and of belonging, and that matters much more. Moses' legacy was a legacy saying to his people, give yourself to God, to Alistair, to all who are here this morning, whatever stage you're at in life, give yourself to God for the journey. Listen for the voice of God as you go forward, for he will speak, he will communicate, so take on board what he says and do it. Put it into practice. My generation doesn't have a great track record for doing that. But please God, we see enough evidence in our land today of churches that are growing and being blessed, of people engaging with God, of new generations coming through who really want to know God and make him known. And in closing, let me quote from Andrew's pastoral letter that came to the church just recently. If you haven't read it, read it today. He pleads for three things as we welcome Al and commend him to God today. First of all, allow him to be a pioneer among us. Secondly, make room for a new generation. And thirdly, embrace the urgent need to reach local people here in St. Andrews. Good words to bring us to the close of these few thoughts on this wonderful book, on this great man of God. And so to Alistair, to my brothers and sisters in St. Andrew's Baptist Church, and to all who are here from other congregations, hear now the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Amen.